As we, got to know other people, and shared with them and traded with them, because my grandmother always took something like dried clams and traded with them, like people up north, they had the Ulgan grease and my grandmother had clams or dried salmon, and they would trade, and of course they'd become familiar and get to know, the other people that are there. They had a lot of friends up and down the coast. Seashell, going down to Seashell, going up to Chilliwack, going, to the island. So that's like your extended kind of family kind of thing. There's no such a thing as, you're just your brother, your sister. Everyone was, your cousins or your Aish. That's your relative. That's your brother, your sister. Although they may not be in blood, you still refer to them as your Aish. It's your relative.
And so would your grandparents speak in Chinook language if they met people from the North Coast or if they went down to Chilliwack, or would they speak English?
Yeah, they spoke Chinook, but surprisingly, the languages are quite similar. A lot of the words are close, very close. And some are the same, some are totally different. But you don't need to be together for a long time, and you start picking up, you know what they're talking about. Yeah, so I don't know why the languages were made different, but it's really we're the three reserves that speak the same language, and then Sechelt is a little different, although we can understand them pretty much. And then with the Chinook language being used, I guess that was their trading language. Yeah, they were able to communicate quite well.
Did your grandmother ever make baskets to sell as well? Did she do that?
She did.
Who did she sell them to?
Two people around Powell River when the white people first came in the early 1900s. I used to go with her to sell baskets. She would make a basket or a couple of baskets, and I'd go with her. We'd walk, just go door to door and sell basket. And she'd barter. She would want to trade for men's clothes or food or whatever, She didn't get much for her baskets. She got very little for her baskets. She might got $2 and some clothes and maybe a bit of food. But she made beautiful baskets. She made really nice baskets. And we've been able to get back some of the baskets that
I was wondering about that.
Some were returned to us.
How did that happen? How did you find them?
A lady who lived in Portland, Oregon. She was in her late 80s at the time. This was only about 4 years ago. She was looking at the beautiful British Columbia magazine, and she seen a picture of Mary George in that magazine. And Mary George had these baskets around her, and she said, "That's my basket." Because she had a whole collection of baskets in her attic. She lived in this old house, big house, and she lived alone. But her ex-husband's father was one of the first people in Powell River. and she didn't know that. And him, I guess, and his family bought baskets from our people here.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been in the early 1900s. So when her and her husband split up, he took what he wanted, I guess, out of their home and left these baskets up in the attic, which had belonged to his family from way back. So she was, I guess, pottering about, and she came across her baskets. Then she didn't know where they belonged. She had no idea where these baskets came from. And so she'd been trying to, you know, find out. And she found out by this magazine. So she got a hold of the lady that had it on. She was visiting this lady, and it was on her coffee table. And she went and she asked her, where did this come from? And, oh, my friend lives in Powell River, sends me these magazines. Oh, my God, you know, she's so excited about it. So she got a hold of her friend in Powell, which happens to be a friend of mine. And my friend Donna called me. There's this lady that called from the States, and a friend of hers down there has these baskets. So that's how the connection was made. Anyway, we connected up, and eventually Marlene and I went down and picked them up.
So she gave them back?
She gave them back.
Wow.
So it's waiting for our future museum or wherever it's going to be put.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, talk about exquisite work. It's just beautiful. Some of those baskets are just so beautiful, so well made. The thought that went into it, the work that went into it. They didn't have a plan. They didn't have a pattern to follow. It was all inside their head. Just learning from their mums or their grandmothers,
mm-hmm.
way back then. So detailed. Oh.
Was your grandmother as careful making baskets as she was smoking fish?
Oh, yes. Oh, she was so fussy. When she made baby baskets, the papoose baskets, she made a lot of those in her life. And they're big. I've got one of those that she made. But she saved all the outer part of the cedar root because it's shinier and long. And she picked her long ones, set them aside, and saved them. That's going to be for the next project. That'll be for another baby basket. So the finished product was really shiny, really like glossy.
Mm-hmm.
And she made sure that's the material she used for that. She had her own pattern. Other ladies that made baskets like that had their own design.
So it was pattern. Like a signature?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a beautiful basket that a lady from Seashelt made. My mother-in-law got me that papoose basket when I had my second child. And then my the baby I lost out in the States, she was in that basket still. It was a big basket, pretty big basket. But it was quite different from my granny's work, but it was nevertheless it was beautiful in her own style. When my baby died down there, and I kind of regretted it afterwards when I thought about it. But this one lady just seemed to appear from nowhere and was helping me through the crisis, and packing my stuff to come back to Canada, I gave her that basket. I just handed it over to her. It was such a beautiful basket. But I was in such a place that was like clouded, you know, for me, that I just didn't I just appreciated her being there for the week that I was going through this real crisis. And I just handed her over this basket. You can have this. I know her mouth dropped open, I remember that. And are you sure, you know? Yeah, and that was a nice basket. So when I had my next baby after that, that's when my grandmother made the one that I've got right now. So Jeannie was the first one in that basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's turning 50 this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So all my grandchildren have been in it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, every one of them. All my children after Jeannie and her children, the rest of the grandchildren. Yeah. It's passed from here to there. It always comes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I put it away and then it's gone again to the
next. Wait for the next baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess it'll be great grandchildren after that. That's mm-hmm. going to go into this basket.
Mm-hmm. Probably not that long away.
No. Yeah, maybe in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, those baskets are priceless.
That's wonderful to get some of them back. That's really,
mm-hmm.
really good.
There's another lady that gave us some back as well. She lived out in the Ladner, not in the Ladner area, yeah, the Ladner area. Denise and I, my niece, she was chief then. And this woman got a hold of her and wanted to return some baskets. And I think we got about four or five baskets from her. And those two are really nice. So they're with our collection. We got it stored up in a child development center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice. You know, we advertised here in the community, in the newspaper, if anyone had any baskets. We had a couple more people that came forward and gave us their baskets. One time on telemarket, through the radio station, a lady was talking. This was quite a few years back when I was still working. And the lady came on and said, "I have a local native basket for sale, or baskets for sale." I went right away. I phoned her right away and I told her, "Hold on to those baskets." I said, "I want to see them." And she just lived 2 miles, you know, off the reserve here. So I went and looked, and lo and behold, one of them is my grandmother's. I recognized it right away. It's what's called a picnic basket. It's a bag with a handle and a lid, nicely made. So I still have that.
Did you have to buy it from her, or did she give it to you?
No, I bought it from her. I gave her $40. She wanted more. And like my grandmother, I bartered. And
good.
I said, "You know, I'm sure," I said, "when you bought that basket off my grandmother," I said, "I don't know what you would have gave her, $2, $5? I said, "You know, I would just like to get it back. I know that's my grandmother's worth." So she let me have it for $40.
That's good.